Satan can never defeat you until you cooperate with him. So all he does is he makes sure that you are gradually not believing God so you can come and cooperate with him. Then he will defeat you. Then we say Satan is powerful. He's not. He's only powerful because we have made him.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
All right, so we will continue. I think today will be the last message on our series of lessons on the revelations, on the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. Whenever we gather to pray, we create spiritual momentum. Whenever we gather to pray, we create what? Spiritual momentum. And today we will look at the subject of how to pray in a crisis. And today is the fourth lesson, how to pray in a crisis. We use Daniel as a case study. We have understood that in a crisis, we must study the scriptures about our issues and let God speak to you first before you speak to him. So what is the first step in prayer? Listening, not saying. You should never say anything until you hear what he has to say. Amen. Secondly, we have understood that we ought to focus our attention on God and seek him by prayer and petitions. And thirdly, which was last week, we talked about let God see how important whatever it is that you are praying for, how that thing means to you. Demonstrate some seriousness. And last week I showed you. I hope you wrote the lessons on last week's lesson. Did you? You will need it for the rest of your life because Satan is always going to mess with your head. And you must know how to fight back. I said you must know how to. You pray. And then because you have not seen an answer, Satan comes in and says, "God didn't hear you." Is that true? No. We told you that God's power is not in question. The only thing that is in question is his timing, because it's not like ours. And we must learn to wait on him. Amen. Today I'm going to do the fourth lesson from Daniel. And it is about praying the promises of God. Praying the promises of God. I want to show you how to pray the promises of God. Anytime you pray, God listens to you whenever you pray according to his will. If he's the one who gave the promise, then he's already told you what his will is. So if you pray the promise, you have actually prayed his will. Are you with me? And I am going to show you how to pray the promises of God. Are you ready to go on the journey today? All right, tell the person sitting next to you, we're going to learn how to pray the promises of God. All right. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Because we find in the example of Daniel, when we read Daniel chapter 9, that as Daniel was praying, the Bible says he understood through the words of the prophet Jeremiah that 70 years must expire before the prayers he's praying will be answered. 70 years before the prayer will be answered. If today people will go for all kinds of prayer meetings, forcing the hand of God, and God has locked the answer to that prayer in 70 years. But when he understood it, he understood the promise, he began to pray. Are you in Jeremiah? Jeremiah 29, verse 10 to verse 13. We're going to read that together. All right, Jeremiah 29, from verse 10. "For this is what the Lord says, when 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you. Notice, this is who says? The Lord. This is what he's saying. I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. So do you see how God has locked the answer to that kind of prayer of restoration for 70 years? He will not answer it until the 70 years are over. I know it's not the stuff modern day people want to teach you, but I want you to be balanced in God's word. Amen. So when you run around saying, but I know the plans I have for you, think seriously what you're saying. Because there are things God has for you, but they are locked in time. Are you able to stand and wait until you see it? I pray that you will not be of those who draw back, but those who will stand until they see it. Amen and amen. So we see how Daniel prays based on a promise. And when he starts his prayer in Daniel chapter 9 from verse 4, he begins to confess the sins of the people. Why? Because the promise that God made was because the people have sinned, he took them into captivity. So he begins with confession of their sins. All right? So whenever you take a promise, you have to pay attention to the context in which it was made before you pray them. Because as you pray them, you would see that God has given certain conditions. Amen. So let's begin today's lesson, first of all, by defining the word promise. A promise, ladies and gentlemen, is simply a commitment to do something later. Please note the time element in the definition. A promise is a commitment to do something when? A vow, on the other hand, is also a commitment to do something, but at a particular period or over a period of time. Did you guys hear what I just said? I'm trying to help you to understand the word promise. Because anytime we read the Bible and say, this is what God has said, it's a promise, it's true. But there's a time element to it. He's going to do it later. The later could be 10 days. The later could be 10 years. And the later could be 10 months. But it is a promise, it's a commitment to do something when? Later. So God's promises are commitments that God has made to do something for you. All right? Anytime we talk about the promises of God. And there are two aspects of God's promise. Please write it down. There are general promises and there are specific promises. There are general promises and there are specific promises. A general promise is our promises that is given to every believer, including you and me, in every age. And let me add something to the definition. It has no limitations of time and persons. It has no limitations of time and persons. A general promise is a promise that is given to every believer over the ages. As long as you are alive, the promise is for you. Are you with me? All right. And it has no time limitations. In other words, you can pray some things and believe the Lord for them to happen immediately. There are no time constraints to it. All right. Now, the book of Psalms, chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 to verse 3, he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. But then he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. That's not a promise, but that is the prelude to the promise. The promise is in verse 3. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that never fail in its season. Please pay attention. Trees only grow in their season. But the righteous has been likened to a tree that has an unending season. It means you can have fruit in season and out of season. But for that to happen, you do not walk in the way of sinners. The if to the promise. Are you guys hearing me today? All right. And so these are general promises. Let me look at another one from the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. Jesus said to everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. He was talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman. You remember that? But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never thirst again. It's a promise. If you drink from the water he gives, you will never what? Thirst again. In fact, the water that I will give him will become a well of water springing up out for eternal life. 1 John 1:9, the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is what? These are all general promises. Let's look at the second part. So the promises of God are general, but they could also be what? Specific. They could be specific. Specific promises are promises given to specific people for special or specific occasions. And I've seen many Christians claiming promises that are not general and saying God is not coming through. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 9, God, after Solomon had done all the work that he's supposed to do in building, notice what God says to him. He says, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised your father David, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. That's a promise, but it was made only to Solomon on that occasion. And you cannot claim it. I said, you cannot? I've heard people say, oh, the promises of God can be claimed. Not all of them. The ones that are for you, you can claim them. This was made to Solomon. Are you a king? In terms of the kingdom, yes, you are. Right? And I've seen people make all kinds of application. But be very careful because scriptures are very simple. This was made to who? Solomon. Look there with me. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 35. Please, shall we read together? Go. Right, he says, a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many heart will be revealed. This was made when the child Jesus was presented in the temple for christening, and Simeon, who was fasting and praying, met the baby, and when he held the baby in his hands, he says, a sword will pierce your soul, that will be on the cross, but the result of it is that many people will come to have a relationship with God Almighty. That promise is not for you. I've seen people, he says, I'm going through a lot of pain and I'm dealing with a lot of pain in my life. But the promise of God is that, oh, there will be a sword piercing my soul. And when I come out of it, glory will be to God. There are other scriptures that speaks the same thing, but this one is not yours. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? Yeah, I know. It's a shock. What is he saying? Some specific promises are also applicable to every believer. Some specific promises, right? Even though they are made to specific people or a specific group of people or a specific area, they are still applicable. Some, not all. The two I just quoted is for Solomon and Jesus. It's not for you. And I will show you an example of some specific promises that are generally applicable. One is in the book of Isaiah 54. Look there with me at verse 10. Please read with me from the screen, shall we? Read. And the hills shake. My love will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says your compassionate Lord. If you start from verse 1, you will notice that God was speaking to Jacob. Not Jacob as an individual, but Jacob as referring to the children of Israel. And so the scripture, for example, that we quote, no weapon formed against you happens in the context of this. It was originally made to the Israelites. That is why when you take a Jew, you put him in Russia, you put him in Africa, you put him in any place, the guy is going to win. You all remember the words of the friends of Haman when he was messing around with Mordecai? And then they told him that if Mordecai indeed is a Jew, you will surely fail. Because there are certain promises made to that little nation. They are always going to stand because God's word would always be on it. Are you hearing me? But in the context that he's made in these words to Israel, notice how he does not place a limit of time and a name to it. So you and I can what? Claim it. Why? Because even though it's specific to the nation, it is still what? General. He says, though the mountains move and the hills shake, my love. Is somebody here today, or maybe you are on social media and say, preacher, it looks like nobody wants me. God says, my love will not. You didn't hear me. My love will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace, you have been destined to walk in peace. So when peace is not your portion, you have a right to go back to God and say, God, according to the covenant of peace, I am supposed to be peaceful. But notice, there are other scriptures that must be quoted in line with that. If you stay your mind on him, he promises you peace. Isaiah 26 and 3. Are you guys understanding? So don't be taking one promise without the other. You must put them together. God is not schizophrenic. He knows what he says. Amen. Acts chapter 13. We are talking about specific promises that can also be claimed. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 47. Here it is Paul and his compatriots who are speaking. And he says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. Who? Paul and those with him on the missionary journey. And he's saying, this is what the Lord has commanded us. What has the Lord commanded? I have made you a light for the Gentiles to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. This verse is originally quoted about Jesus in the Old Testament. And when Simeon was praying over him, he talked about him as a light to the nations. And Paul, who is not Jesus, is claiming that promise. Why? Because though it is made specifically to an individual, it is still applicable because every single one of us sitting here, the Bible says you are the light of the world. Are you with me today? All right. I want us to understand a few things about promises before I show you how to pray. So three specific things I want you to write down. When you are praying God's promises, keep the following principles in mind. Anytime you're going to pray a promise, please, after you have checked and made sure it applies to you, all right, that is not specific to some individual somewhere, you must keep these three things in mind. Number one, God's promises are often conditional. The ones he makes to us, I didn't say all of it, but most of it are conditional. You'll find conditional terms like if, but, if my people who are called by my name will humble, if my people humble and pray, then I hear, I heal, and I forgive. So hear, heal, forgive never happens until the people are humble and seeking him. Are you guys with me? So remember that. God's promises are often conditional, so look for the conditional words such as if in the context. Secondly, whenever you are praying, you must keep this one in mind, that praying God's promises does not make God give in to your will. Did you hear what I just said? Praying the promises of God will not force the hand of God. It only forces his own will. Amen? Did you guys get that? Praying God's promises does not make God give in to our will, but it helps us to pray according to the will of God. Thirdly, don't presume to know precisely when, where, or how God is going to fulfill his promise. It is his promise. You need it. Pray it. After you are done, let him do his own thing in his own time. Don't presume. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, this is the issue. We know the promise, so we are going to pray. That's true. But after you're done praying it, please, do not presume you know when, where, and how God is going to fulfill it. We put a lot of pressure on our own selves and other people. I have seen where Christians will gather. You've been married for too long. You don't have a child. The Bible says we shall not be barren. But did God tell you when, where, and how he was going to do it? The answer is no. So pray it, but do not put pressure on nobody, because God will not be pushed around. Amen. Amen. Whenever we do that, we are doing something that makes Satan happy. Please write what I'm about to say. You won't see that one on the screen. Satan cannot defeat you. He always needs your help to be able to do it. Satan, he can never. If he can defeat you, then the cross was not necessary. He can never defeat you. He always needs your cooperation. You will have to do something to give him the authority to be able. This is why you need to be careful. Because what you say before prayer, what you say during prayer, and what you say after prayer, all matters. Before prayer, I'm not sure if God will do this. Then in prayer, Lord, we are believing you because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there you are. Then after prayer, we've been praying for so long and we are not seeing it. Maybe the devil is at work. Exactly which of the prayers should God listen to? You want to tell me? You must focus everything at one thing. This is why taking a promise and praying that promise is important. Before prayer, you quote the promise. During prayer, you quote the promise. After prayer, you quote the promise. Are you with me? Satan can never defeat you until you cooperate with him. So all he does is he makes sure that you are gradually not believing God so you can come and cooperate with him. Then he will defeat you. Then we say Satan is powerful. He's not. He's only powerful because we have made him. Amen. So did you remember the three things I talked about when you are praying a promise? They are conditional, so pay attention to what needs to be fulfilled first. Praying God's promise won't force God. He will do it when, where, and how he wants to fulfill it. Amen. Now let's answer the main question. How do I pray the promises of God? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a very popular scripture. The King James says, for all the promises of God are what? Yea and amen. Until I read the verse in its actual Greek form, then I realized there is something more to it. Read with me from the screen, shall we? For every one of God's promises is yes in him. That is in Jesus. Therefore, through Jesus, we also say amen to the glory of God. I intentionally kept quiet. I wanted to sing. Now, in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was talking about the preaching and the message they are bringing to the Corinthians. And then he reminds them that, listen, when we came to preach to you, our words were not yea and nay or yes and a no. We were very sure of what we were saying. Whenever we say sin is sin, we call it like that. Whenever we say righteousness is this, it was not yes and what? And a no. So that is where you get the terminology yea and nay. He began the argument from there. But then he says, the only reason our message is always sure was because Jesus was the center of our preaching. Then he moves on in verse 19 and he makes the argument that this Jesus, who is the center of our preaching, is also the same agent who ensures that the promises of God are always fulfilled. Are you with me? And so he says, all the promises of God are yea, or simply yes. What it simply means is true. God is faithful, so his promises are always what? Ladies, if a guy makes a promise to you, what is the normal thing we ask them? Are you sure? Why do we ask them that? Are you sure? Guys, why do you think the ladies ask you that? Are you sure? Husbands, you tell your wife, we are going to go on vacation in 2 months. My wife said experienced. Because you've never taken her even to buy ice cream out of the house. Now you are talking about vacation. So based on experience, you can affirm that this individual is capable of doing what they said they're going to do. Your experience with God is what affirms the fact that all of his promises will come to pass. What about the Christian who have not had an experience? It started raining 2 days ago. As soon as it stops raining, do you think the sun will come up? The sun will come. Why? Because of God's faithfulness. It's not because of some scientist. As for scientists, they are only predicting. I wish I was there are people who can lie and still have a job. I know I put it in a very crude way, but right? The weather people. They say it doesn't come to pass. Oh, the models change. The American model and the European models, they didn't meet. Then they are gone. But there are some jobs you can't do that. The only reason the universe is exactly where it is, the only way we know gravity would always act, is because God is faithful. Any law, whether it is physical laws, the laws of physics, or spiritual laws he's put in place, it will always come to pass. Amen. And the Bible says, whenever the promises of God are yes, he says our preaching must also be yes, that God's promises would always come to pass. But it is not the only thing we say. We say things by preaching them, but we also say things by praying them. So the best way to pray the promise of God is simply read it. After that, say, amen. Don't spend 4 hours on it, because it's God's will. I said, don't spend what? Don't even spend 30 minutes on it. You read it. When you are done, said, Jack, you heard me. Amen. Don't add Jack, you heard me, because that one is not him. All right? So how do I pray the promises of God? Read the promise. After that, say, religion will teach you. You have to keep repeating it. You don't need to. He says, the Message Bible. Read with me, shall we? Go. Whatever God has promised, get stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and pray. The great amen. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he destined to complete.
Thank you for listening to another kingdom-impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.